Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open lines for you right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions about the book of Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to discuss, call right now. That's 1-800-677-9377. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. And it's day 17 of our focus on the book of Revelation. And Bob Christopher, it's really been exciting.
It has been exciting. I want to start today's broadcast by reading Romans 5, verses 9 and 10. And I think this is going to be a great setup for what we're going to look at in Revelation 16. Paul writes this, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, so through faith in Jesus Christ, we are declared to be righteous." And I think that's the proof that our sins have totally been forgiven once and for all. Otherwise, God wouldn't declare us to be righteous. Mm-hmm. But we've been justified, declared to be righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. So his shed blood justified us. So how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? If we've been declared to be righteous, that is the guarantee that we will be saved from God's wrath through Jesus Christ. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, so at one time we were enemies of God. We wore the wrath of God. That was on us. We were condemned. But in that state, God reconciled us to him through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? It's this resurrected life of Jesus Christ that saves us, that justifies us, that declares us to be righteous, and that's our guarantee that we're going to be saved from the wrath to come. Now let's jump to Revelation 16, the seven bowl judgments, and all seven are going to be poured out in this particular chapter. Now, it's interesting. This is how the chapter begins. "Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath.'" So God's wrath is about to be poured out in this particular chapter, but I think it's important for us to understand that wrath is directed toward those who live in rebellion to God. As believers in Christ, those who have been justified by his blood, we are saved from God's wrath. We may be here when this wrath is happening. We may be taken out of here. That's a question that's being debated among biblical scholars. If we're here, this wrath will not touch us. It will not impact us in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because we've been justified by the blood of Jesus. That guarantees that we're going to be saved from the wrath to come. But these bowl judgments, they're the final seven judgments of a series of three seven judgments. Here we see the first bowl, when it's poured out, that malignant sores show up on all of God's enemies. Those who have taken the mark of the beast and have worshiped his statue, that's who will experience this wrath, and they're going to have malignant sores. The second bowl is poured out. The seas turn blood red, and everything in the seas are killed. The third bowl turns the rivers and streams to blood, and that's given to those who bear the mark of the beast to drink. And
I think the environmentalists are going to have a problem with this.
They probably will. They probably will. But and they will be raising their hands saying, you know, God, it's not right maybe. I don't know. The fourth bowl causes the sun to scorch everyone with its fire. The fifth bowl plunges the kingdom of the beast into darkness, causing the subjects to grind their teeth in anguish. And it's interesting, as you go through these five bowl judgments, you come to this conclusion: in spite of these horrible judgments, the people still did not repent and turn to God. Their hearts continued to grow hard to the point that they could not be penetrated. Isn't that an amazing truth, Richard, that you know, all of God's glory has been shown to people through nature, and we've seen what his wrath is like, and the fact that we're powerless under him. And yet there are people out there that won't repent. They won't recognize that truth and turn to God for salvation. And we see it all the way in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. It's maybe one of the saddest verses in the Bible.
Yes, I mean, indeed.
It's just, it doesn't matter what God does. He loves us perfectly. He has forgiven us perfectly, if we'll accept it. He has saved us perfectly, if we'll accept it. And he judges perfectly, and you have to accept that. But they still will not turn, will not say, you know, you're right and I'm wrong. I need you, Lord.
Right.
They won't do it.
And we're going to see the height of that here in just a second as the angel pours out the sixth bowl of God's wrath. And here it's interesting because when this bowl is poured out, it's poured out on the Euphrates River, and it dries up that river. And it basically provides a thorough way for the armies to gather and head to a place called Armageddon. We've all heard of Armageddon. We know that word. We know that phrase. And it conjures up all sorts of incredible images as to what we think is going to happen there. But it's interesting. Here's how the beast gathers the armies. He sends out demonic spirits. So what do demonic spirits do? They deceive. That's what they do. They deceive people. And here's the height of deception. They go out, they gather up the armies, and they somehow convince them that they can go to this place called Armageddon. They can do battle with the Lord, and they can win. That is a group of people that are deceived beyond measure. To think you can battle the Lord, to think you can win in that battle, to think you could knock God off of his throne and take that place for yourself, that is deception to the max. Yet, that's what happened. They gathered at Armageddon. Now, it's interesting, you know, right in the middle of this particular bowl judgment, we see a statement made by Jesus. He said this, "Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed." Who are those people? Those are believers in Christ Jesus. And this is a reference to what Paul wrote in the book of Thessalonians. He's talking about the second coming of Christ and the fact that those who have died are already with the Lord. And when he comes back, we're going to go and meet them in the air. It's one of the most comforting and encouraging verses. And then there's always this question, well, when is that going to happen? Am I going to miss it? What do I have to do? Well, he says, pay attention. But he says this, "You brothers are not in darkness so that this day will surprise you like a thief in the night. You are all sons of light and sons of the day." His second coming is not going to surprise us. But to those gathered at this place called Armageddon, his second coming will be unexpected. They will have no idea when it's going to occur. But when he does arrive on the scene, it will only take a word from him, and the battle is over.
It's over.
There's really no fighting. And I think it's important for us to realize, Richard, that in this battle of good versus evil, and we see movies built around that theme, it's one of the stories that has been retold time and time again.
Yes.
Throughout history, good versus evil. And the way we imagine that is here are two people of equal strength, equal power, fighting it out to the end.
And you're never quite sure.
Never quite sure until, you know, the final bell rings, so to speak. That's not the case. Satan can gather up every army, have every force of darkness in his arsenal, and it's nothing compared to the Lord. There will be no battle. Jesus will speak. And it's done. And what he says, this voice from heaven, it is finished. Now, that reminds us of what Jesus said at the cross, it is finished. This isn't the exact phrase, although it's translated as if it were. It's not the exact phrase, but it simply means that judgment is done. Yeah. It's over. There's nothing left. It came into being, and so be it. And it was just with a word. The rebellion was crushed. And at that end, we see thunder crashing and lightning flashing and the earth shaking, and Babylon has drunk the cup of God's wrath. Islands disappear. Mountains are leveled. Hail falls from the sky. And even then, the lost still curse God.
Yeah.
An amazing, amazing reality.
Absolutely.
But we as believers, we take hope because we're not children of darkness. We are children of the light through faith in Jesus Christ. The folks out there, they think they can battle the Lord. It isn't going to happen. I wish they would come to their senses and receive life in Him.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you for joining us. And if you'd like to call, we have open lines for you right now, 1-800-677-9377. We've opened the phone lines especially for you, just for you, 1-800-677-9377. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a Bible question, why, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question from Frank, who writes to us from Modesto, California, says, I've heard pastors and Christian people saying that he or she went back into the world. What exactly are they saying? My understanding is that once you're saved, you're always saved. So what is this talking about? They went back into the world.
Well, the fact is that once a person's saved, they are saved. What were we saved out of? Well, we were saved out of this world that was anti-God, anti-Christ. We used to be that. We used to be anti-God, anti-Christ. We used to follow the ways of this world. We used to live to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's how we rolled back then. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we're rescued from the ways of the world. And so the Bible says that we are not of the world, yet we still live in the world. Now, for somebody to say, I went back to the ways of the world, they might be saying, hey, I've rejected Christianity, I've rejected my faith, and I'm going back to my old way of life. John had a word about those, that they went out from among us because they were never really a part of us. There are so many people out there that give lip service to Christianity. They've grown up in a church. They understand the beliefs of the Christian faith, but they've never truly exercised that faith. And they come to a point where they get frustrated in life. The things of the world look pretty good to them, so they jump in both feet to really embrace the world philosophy. So I think that's what it means. I don't think it's somebody who is genuinely a Christian who is saying, I'm going back to the ways of the world. If they did, God's Spirit would let them kind of dabble in it for a little while and then just bring to mind how empty it is.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, right. That you're right, Lord. This is what I was saved from, and thank you that you've saved me from this mess.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Now, the tragedy of a statement like that, especially from a church leader, is that it shows that the church leader has written that person off. Why not go talk to that person? Find out what it is that's going on. Maybe somebody did something bad to them, and they feel so bad that they leave, or they were so confused in their beliefs that they just couldn't make sense of it anymore. But instead, we tend to judge people, write them off, and shake the dirt off of our shoes at them, and leave them out there. And some of them probably should be left. But we don't know who those are before the fact. You have to reach out and try to restore, if at all possible.
Right.
I mean, we're called to nothing less.
Absolutely. It's like we're definitely, as believers, we're going to make wrong turns along this path or in this journey that we have. But the Holy Spirit always brings us back. Mm-hmm. It's like a GPS, directional unit that you have in your cars or in your phone. It sets the destination, and it picks the route to take to get to that destination. Sometimes we don't heed the directions the GPS gives us, so we try to do it on our own. We're going to find it. I think it's going to be easier if we turn left here instead of going straight. And, you know, the GPS unit, the voice doesn't judge you or condemn you or berate you for not following instructions. It simply recalculates.
Yes.
And that's the way the Spirit works in us. We can take some wrong turns here and there, but that doesn't change the destination that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to. He certainly takes those mistakes that we have made, those sins that we have committed, and works them together for our good and helps us get right back on the path and on our journey of being conformed into the image of Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. Frank, hope that has been a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, why, we encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, and drop us an email with your question or your particular need, and we'll be glad to address it on Basic Gospel. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Plenty of open lines right now. Toll free, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time. Want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Jersey City and talk with Kenneth, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Kenneth.
Hi, sir. How are you feeling?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, wonderful in the spirit. Thank you so very much. Joy, blessings, and peace be upon you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. I have a question. It's not from Revelation. It's basically from Proverbs. I heard you speak again about once saved, always saved. And yes, I know we are saved by grace and not by works. But I've also heard pastors say to the congregation, basically, there's going to be a lot of people from the church that are going to be in hell also. Now, I'm trying to ascertain what sin could we or do we commit. I know that there are sins that we do commit while we are saved, and if we do not repent of some of those sins, or all of them, I'm sorry, if we don't repent of all of them, that we will find ourselves, you know, in the judgment seat. Am I correct or not?
Well, here's the deal, Kenneth. When we come to Christ, here's what happens. We die in Christ, we're buried in Christ, and then we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So it's not just a belief system that we now adopt as our you know, marching orders. Something has happened to us. We died in Christ. We were placed into his death. That's what Romans 6 is all about. We were placed into his burial, signifying an end to that old way of life, and that we were raised up to walk in the newness of life. So in that old way of life, we were controlled by sin. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. That was the only option. But now, since we've been made alive in Jesus Christ, God's Spirit has come to live in us, and now we are led internally by the Spirit of God. So we may make some wrong choices, and we do make some wrong choices along this journey of new life. But the Holy Spirit is always there to renew our minds, to correct our thinking, to change our attitudes, and in so doing, to redirect our wills so that we will engage in activities that align with the will of God, things that will be pleasing to us. So I think it's important, Kenneth, for us to understand what salvation is. Really is. I think too many people sell it short. They just say, you know, give me the doctrinal statement, tell me what I'm supposed to believe. I will say that I believe that stuff and then I'm saved. Well, God has a big part in that. And like I said, he takes us from death to life, and he's guaranteed our eternal salvation. So if he's guaranteed it, I don't think we can argue with that. If he has named you to be one of his, then guess what? You are one of his. You bear the mark that shows that you belong to him now and for always. That's the good news of the gospel. And that's the assurance and confidence that we can have in this particular world. So the blood of Jesus Christ is what has cleansed us. The blood of Jesus Christ is what has justified us, declared us to be righteous in the sight of God. So that repentance, what God was really looking for happened at salvation. We changed our whole mind and our belief system. We went from belief in self to belief in Jesus. We went from unbelief to belief. We went from darkness to light, from death to life, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, from pride and fear and jealousy and hate to love and grace and mercy and faith and those sort of things. So it was a complete change. And we can trust Jesus just as he saved us and gave us life to sustain us and persevere with us to bring us to the very end. That's the good news of the gospel.
I understand that completely. I am so with that 100% to have the mind and the intent and the thoughts of Christ, to be like Christ. My problem is a lot of Christians do a lot of lip service.
Well, Kenneth, that shouldn't surprise you. I think that's the whole deal that we need to come to. That shouldn't surprise us. There's a lot of folks that give lip service. Why? Because they want to project that everything's okay. But we just pray and hope that God reveals truth, that they understand their real need, and that the gospel message is there to save them at that point in time. A lot of folks want to take mission trips around the world. Some of the greatest and most fertile missionary grounds are within church walls right here in the United States of America. So look at it as a great opportunity to proclaim and spread the true and good news of Jesus Christ.
I do. Yes, I do, my brother. Thank you so very much.
Well, thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. Sure appreciate your call.
And we'll be telling the listeners how to get a copy of their own in just a moment.
Well, we certainly need folks to stand with us in this particular ministry, and it's a wonderful opportunity to help connect others to the love of Jesus Christ. If you've been touched, if this ministry has made a difference in your life, would you stand with us and help make a difference in other people's lives as well? Your gift of $35 will help us reach 100 people. Mm. A gift of $70 will help us reach 200 people.
That's
so
reality.
You see, it's an incredible investment. It gets a lot of bang for the buck. So join with us. Be a part of the Basic Gospel team.
And thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you've liked what you've heard, we ask you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And to thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, we'll be happy to send you a copy of our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But if you can offer a donation of $50 or more, we'll send you the booklet and the 8-message CD series by Richard Pfeiffer called Revelation, It's No Mystery. It's your gifts that keep Basic Gospel on the air, as Bob Christopher was saying, and at the same time can bring you new understanding of the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount. That booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make your donation, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're there, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join the email list for news and information about the ministry and resources that are available to you through this ministry. So, for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.